It has made us very busy. Obviously, with the Affordable Care Act and the Recovery Act, we became quite busy over the last couple of years. So we've been dealing with that as each of these priorities have come forward and shifting priorities as needed.
With all those acts, that's required new contracts for you. Do you have enough people to cover it all?
We've been able to manage. We are understaffed in our contracting workforce, and we're trying to recapture what we've lost over the last couple of years and regain our workforce. But our workforce has been holding strong and be able to meet all those priorities as they've
So 1102s are hard to come by, and they take training. So where do you find them?
Our operating divisions, each of our agencies at HHS, like the National Institutes of Health, Food and Drug Administration, et cetera, each reach out to their local communities and to the workforce and try to capture as many folks as they can and recruit and retain those that come in. Our Centers for Medicare and Medicaid started an intern program last year that's been very successful, so they've been able to bring in a whole new workforce through that program.
So if there's any buyouts, it's not going to be for procurement officers and contracting officers?
No, I think we'll be left off the list.
Now, a lot of agencies are also adding contracting officer representatives, CORs, used to be called COTRs. What are you doing in that regard?
We are actively engaged in implementing the new three-tiered program for COTRs or CORs and ensuring that the folks that we do designate from within the agency to serve in those functions are fully trained and capable. The Level 3 program's very good at getting the folks who need to work on the more complex contracts more up to speed in terms of the programmatic skills that are also required.
And so when you find those people and get them in place, what do they do for you?
They help with all of the breadth of contract administration that's required to help us oversee contract performance. And they also become key individuals who help us plan the next procurements because they've been through what it takes to administer a contract and can help bring that learning forward in our new planning.
And how are you all doing with respect to using 8A contractors, small business contracting, veteran-owned, disabled veteran-owned? There seems to be more and more requirements every couple of years.
Right.
Are you getting to that 23% level? Or are you?
We're getting there. Our goal for the last 2 years was 19.5%, and for fiscal year 11, we've achieved more than our expected goal, and we were about 22.5%. So we're very pleased with that. We did quite a bit of outreach last year. That certainly helped in our efforts. I can't cite the number, but I think it's over 1,000 contracts that we awarded last year to new businesses who had never had a contract with us before. I mean, that's a measure we had started just to see what kind of results we were getting from all the outreach we were doing, and we were quite pleased to see those numbers, and they grew from the year before. So small businesses are a priority for us. We do have challenges in meeting the hub zone and the veteran-owned goals, so we are targeting our efforts toward those communities. Tomorrow we're actually having an event at our building for what we call the VH8A event, veteran-owned, hub-zoned, women-owned, and 8A-owned program. So
we might have a new acronym budding here to get everybody in there.
Right.
Nancy Gunderson is Deputy Assistant Secretary for Grants, Acquisition Policy, and Accountability at Health and Human Services. And let's talk about grants for a minute, because grants are something that are newly to come under some of the reporting and transparency requirements. And HHS probably does more granting than acquisition.
We do, much more.
So how is that going to work for you?
We've always had a very strong grants management program. My office merged with the acquisition management office 2 years ago, and I'd say about 50% of my time is spent on each side of the fence. We do quite a bit of grant making, about $380 billion in discretionary grants alone in a year, whereas our contract spending is more like $20 billion a year. So we do spend quite a bit of effort on our policies and practices around grants and have been striving to make all of that information more transparent. We have an internal system that helps us, our tracking and accountability and government grant system that we use to capture all of that spending and report it out. And obviously, we're working to implement our open government plan and improve our data quality in that area.
Now, are you working with the Recovery Board? Because they have that grants tracking recovery.gov site.
Yes, we have been. And that's what we see as the wave of the future in terms of things like we're seeing like the Data Act. And with the Government Accountability and Transparency Board, we're seeing the continued demand for all of that data. And not only just the awards, but the performance data of the grants to continue into the future.
Now, where do most of the grants go in terms of dollars? Is it mostly to nonprofits? Is it to .edus? Or do companies also get them?
It's mostly to states and local communities, certainly community health centers and those sorts of activities, and to nonprofit organizations, as well as a lot of universities and research institutions.
And what are you doing looking at transparency and tracking? Of course, CMS has the most data on earth,
right,
of probably anybody. And there's a big effort to combat fraud in the whole Medicare, Medicaid system.
Right.
What are you looking for in terms of new functionality as we get into the whole data discovery and data pattern matching era?
We are implementing some new tools. I'm not as familiar with those since the Medicare, Medicaid programs don't fall under my purview. But we do have certainly a task force around combating Medicare, Medicaid fraud and avoiding that. They are wrapping some of the tools like the Transparency Board had used around the data about who our providers are and where the fraud has been and finding those risk areas and helping to mitigate them from occurring in the first place.
Is it a good time to be a contracting officer in the federal government?
Yes, it is. You'd be a very popular and highly looked sought after employee.